Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
So we are back here, and this morning's going to be pretty interesting because we're kind of doing a talk show kind of a situation, right?
Yes.
I got Kristen with me.
Good morning.
Hey, this feels like a talk show, doesn't it?
Yes.
It does.
It's a dream come true a little bit.
It's your dream come true to have a talk show?
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
people would watch it.
Some people would watch it. Some people would watch it. I think they would. It could be like the young Fozzle show.
Oh, I
you
see
get
what
it?
You did
you
there.
Get it?
I see
the young Fozzle. That's good. Young Fozzle. Hey, but I'm glad you guys are here. Here's what we're going to do. So in the middle of this crisis, what we want to do is, as a church, we want to be innovative in terms of how we actually connect together. We can't gather together, but we want to be in community. So she is going to be live chatting with you guys. So if you're obviously watching this, you can be in a chat room, right?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Yes. So look for the chat button. You can see chat. If you're on your phone and it's landscape, you want to turn.
Hold up. What is...
Social distancing.
Oh.
Don't touch me.
You're wearing gloves?
Yeah. I mean,
are you serious right now?
I do love a good accessory for starters, but.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
So anyways.
Yes, okay.
Go for the chat. Find the button that says chat. You can chat there. You can look for the map. There's all kinds of fun things that you can do. There's a Bible tab. There's hearts. You can like or love things as they pop up on the screen. So yeah, we're just going to. Be literally right here and
awesome,
with you guys.
Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Before we begin, I want to give a shout out to everyone who is serving. So we got crew over here. So make sure you shout out to them. So if you're chatting with Kristen, make sure you give a shout out to maybe your hubby or your boy or your girl, whatever, who has been serving right here this morning, because we could not do this without them. So make sure they get some love, guys. All right. Now, also want to cover this before we get into this morning. What is this? So if you've been joining us from the beginning, you know what we've been talking about. Last week, I kicked off a series called Reclaim. And it was our goal, our dream to talk about the fact that God's given us opportunity to really expand this facility. And so we want to do that. But obviously, we've got this, we've got a little bit of a thing going on right now, right? And so we want to press pause on this project. This project is for us to expand and to, buy and purchase space, make a resource for us to have additional income and secure a place for Metro, but we want to press pause on that for right now. But we're going to continue this conversation a little bit later. Right now, though, this present moment, what is the conversation that we should be having? As I was thinking about this, I thought, you know what? Our vision as a church is to be a community, a diverse community that lives by faith, that's known by love, and that's a voice of hope. And so I want to make sure we know that as we move together through this crisis, we move together through this time in history. And so I know that living by faith is a great conversation, so that's the conversation I want to have. What does it mean to live by faith? What does that mean for you? And so that is the first question, Kristen, right? First question about what does it mean? What does it mean to live by faith? So let me give you two things.
Okay.
Two things. Now, we did have really some great conversations, Kristen, right?
We did. In the chat room?
Yeah.
Yeah, some were great and some were about, like, the bird's sweat.
Oh, we'll get to that later.
Toilet paper.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But chatting online and talking about this conversation is very key.
Yes.
So this has got to be interactive. Okay, so let's jump in. The first thing I want to tell you to consider or ask you to consider is this idea of living by faith changes your perspective in life. So living by faith should change your perspective in life. What does that mean? Because perspective is about how you view things. And for some of us, season we're in, I mean, we're looking at the news, we're watching so many things unfold, and your view about life, people, and God changing. Government, people in authority, everything is changing. And so your view is being distorted, or you're trying to focus in on what's really true, what's really not true. And I've heard it all. I mean, in fact, I've heard people say, you know, well this is not, this is going to be the end of it, us. Or people have said, no, this is not a big deal. This is just a hoax that the government is doing. This is some kind of a game. This is not true, real. That's not reality that we live in. So it is very important for us to look into how do we view this pandemic, this epidemic, this crisis we're in. How do we view it? So let me take you to a passage of scripture. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. So Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Now, Kristen, I am going to be in the Passion Translation.
Okay.
Because I'm really loving that.
Yes.
You guys can go to whatever, translation you want.
Yeah, cool. There's a Bible tab right next to the chat button. There's a Bible button, and you can just look up all the scriptures right there.
Okay, awesome. All right. Okay, let's jump in. So, let's jump in. So it starts off, it says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's get in a boat and go across to the other side of the lake. I want you to know, this is God, this is Jesus. He's telling them it was his idea to get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake. Keeps on going, it says, so they set sail. Soon, Jesus fell asleep. The winds rose and a fierce wind became a violent squall.
That's not the word.
It's not the word.
But good job.
A violent squall.
Squall.
Okay. Yeah. Storm. Let's call it a storm.
Storm
that threatened to swamp their boat. So this storm rose up. It keeps on going. It says, so the disciples woke Jesus up and said, Master, we are sinking. Don't you care that we're going to drown? With great authority, Jesus rebuked the howling wind and the surging waves, and instantly they stopped and became as smooth as glass. Then Jesus said to them, Why are you fearful? Have you lost your faith in me? Okay, this is kind of interesting that he said that. Okay, keeps on going. It says, so shocked and shaken, they said with amazement to one another, who is this man who has authority over winds and waves that they obey him? Now, so many questions in this passage. So many questions. Number one, Kristen, let me ask you.
Yes.
Did you notice that it was Jesus' idea to get on this boat?
Correct.
So it seems like that, right? So the questions in this passage are, like, number one, does God lead us into storms? Because sometimes it seems it does.
Yeah.
And isn't it true, though, that when he does lead us into storms, it feels like he falls asleep?
Yes.
Right?
Sometimes it does.
Isn't it true, though? I mean, like, we don't want to say it because we're Christian and all that. Jesus is all good and all that. But the reality is that when we get into crisis, it seems like, hello, God, where are you?
You brought me, and then you left me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now you've got that happening. And then, friends, we also have this question about it's not just a storm or a squall. Thank you. It's actually all kinds of things. They're in a boat, like not the best situation. There's waves, there's wind, there's lightning, there's a storm going on. I mean, it's just the worst situation. So you have that. And then when he does wake up, when God does wake up, Jesus does wake up, he asks them the question, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you afraid? Which to us, we'd be like, what are you talking about? We're about to die. This is happening. So Jesus was talking about perspective. He was talking about that because these people who had actually left their families, they had left their jobs, they were following him, they've seen him do miracles, but in the middle of a storm, everything goes out the window in a sense, right? Or out the boat in that case, it just, everything is like freaked out. And so right now, our perspective is like that. We're in the middle of this, and our faith is walking out. Our faith is like running away. Our faith is confused. What's going on? And it's really about perspective. It really truly is. Because, I'm shocked by this. Like, have you noticed this, Kristen? Have you noticed that people are fighting over? Kristen, people are fighting over what?
Toilet paper. Yes.
Toilet paper. By the way, did you know? Did you know that I actually discovered toilet paper in 1992?
I feel like there's a story here that we might not want to know.
We don't want to know.
Actually, I think.
But here's the thing. Number one. I lived in the third world country. Okay, so this is a first world problem. we've got it solved. So if you guys want to, Google other ways. That's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. Don't Google other ways. But perspective. People are fighting over toilet paper, fighting over some things. So how do you get better perspective? It's truly about distance. The distance, if you're too close to a situation or too far away from a situation, if you look at that, it distorts your view. So if you're too close, I've seen people become so close to the situation. They're in it. They're watching, they're reading, they're in it, they're glued to their phones, to the TV, and they're trying to investigate and figure it out. Because for some of us, that's how it helps us. It helps us as we know more and more and more and more. And the problem is that there's so many uncertainties when it comes to this crisis. And so when you get too close, friends, you actually begin to have distrust. Like, because you're so curious, because you don't think how, or you can't figure out how the things work, every relationship you're in gets infected by distrust. Did you know that? Like, distrust has the ability to be so contagious. And it moves from situations to people and then actually to God. So you begin to have this idea of like, I don't know what's going on. I'm not quite sure. I can't figure this out. So we begin to think the worst of people and of God. God has left us. It's over. It's the end of days. And there are some people who are capitalizing on your fears. And those are not the people you want to believe or trust. So are you too close to this? Or are you too far away? Too far away. What does that mean? Well, it's not just about distrusting God. It's about disillusionment of God. When you're too far away, you just feel like you're untouchable. And Christians, you know, sometimes love to do that. They have this idea that like the, and I'm just going to say it, like the blood of Jesus is going to do everything and heal everything. And so it's the same kind of idea that says, oh, let's handle snakes in church. We stop that nonsense. And so because it's too far away. Friends, I mean, God is with us for sure, but we are human people. And so what happens is when you're too far away, you feel like you're above everything. And when you feel like your spirituality or your Christianity is above everybody else, or your faith is about everybody else, you gotta understand that that's actually, this is strong language, but it's witchcraft and sorcery and magic. Mm. Let me explain. People will use God's word as magic. Oh, when if I say this, it'll happen. And friends, this is not magic. The scriptures are not magic. They're not meant to be said correctly. They're meant to be practiced correctly. And so just know that there's a perspective here. So what is the right perspective? Okay, I believe the perspective needs to be eternity. Now, it seems far away, but actually in the scriptures, it's not. It's a distance. It's a distance between now and then. It's a distance between knowing that the reality you're in right now is not the reality you're going to be in forever. And so in light of eternity, everything changes. And our perspective about this virus, about where we are, about our economy, about our families, about the people who have been quarantined, about the people who were extremely worried about the fears, the anxiousness, the stress, the anger, the frustration, the sadness because things are being canceled, just the disappointment, even the rage with some people, all needs to be tempered in light of eternity. Let me read you Ecclesiastes 3. This is extra, by the way. It's extra, okay? Ecclesiastes 3:11. It says here, this is the writer. He says that God, he says he has planted eternity in the human heart. Mm-hmm. Like he has planted eternity in our human heart. But he says, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. This is the New Living Translation. I love this because it gives us the picture, right? There's a whole scope. There's a bigger thing going on. And the way we see this is that we allow eternity to be in our hearts. It needs to be the lens in which we look at everything that's going on right now. Did you notice that you had these disciples who were in the boat and with Jesus? So Jesus was in the boat with them, yet Jesus didn't seem to be the lens they were looking through. Jesus was not in their heart and soul. See, for some of us, Jesus is in your boat, right? He's in your business, or he's in your church, obviously, I hope. Or he's around, he's in the world. If you're trying to figure out Christianity, he's kind of around. He's in your life, sort of. But is he in your soul? Is he the lens you look through? Is he the filter? Is he eternity in your heart? Is he there? Because it's so important in this time. Because in the midst of this, we're going to have moments of panic. You're going to have moments of like, do I have it? With allergy season, Kristen, I don't know about you, but I mean,
you're afraid to cough right now.
Right.
Walking around like stifling it. Yeah.
I know. And people looking at you funny, like, whoa, right. whoa, what's going on? Right?
Right.
People, you're like, oh, we're friends. Not so much.
Not when you cough.
Yes. Hey, I'm so glad you took off the gloves, by the way.
I mean, you know.
Okay. That's good. But it's so true that for so many of us, because we don't have this correct perspective and this correct distance, we miss out on the peace that God has for us. The perspective that God has. Eternity has a perspective that shapes us and that allows our souls to be free to have joy and have laughter in the midst of this. So if you find yourself just worried and you can't laugh and you can't joke around and you can't just have joy in your life, it's for your perspective. You're too close or you're too far away. Too close, but you gotta be right there. Let me tell you what I do, okay? Do you do this? Okay, I don't know if you do this, but I know I'm on Instagram, and I'm pretty sure the world knows that you're on Instagram. All the stories, all the stuff, right? But I'll go on this Instagram page called EarthPics.
Okay.
There's several of them, and they are beautiful pictures of the world and the universe. I mean, they go from like the pictures in the ocean, from the animals and the creatures there are just, they're phenomenal. And sometimes I'll watch like Earth, is it called Earth?
Earth.
It's called Earth, right? We live on Earth, yeah. It's called Earth. Or oceans and all those, yeah. I mean, it is profound. I'm like, what, are you kidding me? The things that are alive in this world and the God who created them. I'll tell you what, it allows me to get out of my funk and go, okay, I've got this God who loves the details, and why would he not be in the details of my life? So let's have eternity as our perspective, because if we change our perspective of life, it changes everything. And guys, I'll tell you what, besides the Earth Picks, I also look at people who, like refugee pages, organizations that are helping refugees, and it breaks my heart. I mean, sometimes I just look at pictures of people who are going through so much hardship that I just want to touch and heal and help, and I don't know. It makes me actually feel helpless, and I do. I hate feeling that way, but friends, it gives us so much perspective. So do you have the right perspective? Because if you have the right perspective, it will allow you to live by faith even more. So living by faith, number one, changes your perspective of life. And number two, it changes your posture in life. So in life, your posture has to change. Your posture, the way you do this. I mean, for some of us, we're just like, get away from me. But I think God's posture for us needs to be different. It's like, and towards the world needs to be different. It's a different kind of posture. What does that look like? Well, in Genesis, this is again extra. Genesis 50, verse 20, there's this guy who says something that's pretty profound. I'll let you figure out who he is. Give you the clue. The clue is what? The coat of many colors, right?
Oh, yeah. I know who that is.
You know who that is? That. Okay, the guy with the coat of many colors. Okay? Let me read this to you. It says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. You intended to harm me, but God intended all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save what? Save what? The lives of many people. Did you know what happened here? His perspective changed his posture. Basically, he was like, I'm not allowing distrust. I'm not allowing what's happening over here, or what people are doing or saying or thinking. Whoever's in charge, I'm not worried about that. Whoever intended it for harm, I know that God is going to turn it for good, and I believe that. That's my perspective. That's what I'm going to be my anchor of my soul here. I know this. And he brought me to this what? Posture, this position, so I could save the lives of many people. We, friends, are in a critical time globally as a church. So if you're joining us from all over the world or all over the country, regardless where you are, let me just tell you, this is such a powerful time. This could be a revival for all of us to actually reclaim the true message and the movement of Jesus, where the church could not be focused on anything else but actually being the church. So when this first happened, I mean, Kristen, do you remember we were in conversations with other staff people about like, okay, should we cancel church? Should we not? Should we not do this? Should we not do that? And then I went away going, okay, stop trying to figure out how to meet.
Yeah.
And I just felt God say, stop doing that. Don't focus on meeting during this time, because this is going to take some weeks to months, friends.
Yeah.
We're going to be in this. So don't focus on meeting together. Focus on mobilizing each other. And so I thought, okay. And so I took it to the staff and I said, hey, we got to do this. And I'm so excited, because Ashley, man, give her a shout out for Ashley. She's my wife. What's up, yo? But she's been jumping on this. I mean, trying to figure out how to still feed the 400 plus kids we still feed in schools. Those schools are being canceled. Yeah. How do we do that?
Yeah.
How are we figuring that out? We're figuring it out. So what does it mean? That means that we're changing our posture. We're changing our posture in life and as a church. And I think we should all do that. Change our posture. Here's how Jesus was trying to teach changing posture. This is a story. It's in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 26. Okay, this is, again, the Passion Translation. And but you might have read this before, and it feels like it's about changing your perspective, but I think it's actually posture. Let me read this to you. Jesus taught his disciples. He says, listen to me. Never let anxiety enter your hearts. Never worry about any of your needs, such as food or clothing. For your life is what? Infinitely more than just food or the clothing you wear. Now, for some of us, life is more than clothing. That's crazy, right? But it's true. It's true, isn't it? But he keeps on going. He says, take the carefree, not the careless, but the carefree birds as your example. Do you ever see them worry? Do you ever see them worry, right? Which brings up the whole point again. Okay, have you ever seen a bird worry? Like, do birds stress out? Do they sweat?
We're going to Google this.
Do birds sweat? And what kind? I want to know.
Kind?
I want you to know your answers. Find out some answers.
Third
here.
In the chat, friends. Help
yes,
me out.
Yes. Do do they use toilet paper?
I'm pretty sure no.
On okay,
that.
Okay, okay. Okay. All right. Let's not do that. All right. So let's go on. It says, do you see them worry? Do they grow their own food or put it in storehouses for later? No. He says, yet God takes care of every one of them, feeding each of them with his love and goodness, which is a very profound thought, being fed by his love and goodness. It is what our souls need to be nourished on, my friends. If you don't do this, by the way, just a side thing, you will stress eat.
Yes.
You will stress eat, okay? And that is not what you want to do, okay? It keeps on going. It says, isn't your life more precious to God than a bird? Be carefree, he says. Again, be carefree, not careless, but carefree in God's care for you. I love that. In God's care for you. Do you know he cares for you? He keeps on going. He says, does worry add anything to your life? Can it add one more year or even one day? So if worrying adds nothing but actually subtracts from your life, why would you worry about God's care for you? This is Jesus' paraphrased words, where he's talking about the concept of you need to change your posture in life. If you focus on gathering, food, clothes. I need this. Provide for me. If you focus on that, your posture in life will be one of stay away from me, but give me. Hoard. Let's get it together. Let's collect. I'm going to get mine. And what we see humanity, not in their best moment when they start fighting over stuff. Because why? They're all trying to get. He's saying here, if you allow anxiety and worry in your life, your posture will be one of trying to grab and trying to get. And he says, no. Don't let anxiety, don't let worry in your life because your posture changes. And your posture and my posture, friends, needs to be one that says, I'm here to serve. I'm here to help and heal. I'm here to help and heal the world. I'm here to help and heal the world. That's my calling. Right now, if you're wondering, hey, what do I do with the spare time? You can do several things. You can catch up on all things you want to do. Maybe even catch up on all the priorities that you should be having with the relationships in your life, your family in your life. But friends, it's about us being mobilized at the church to help and heal, which means that we live a life not of, we go through this not by focusing on other people providing for us, but us providing for everybody else. Like we're all in this together. What if we did this? Man, we would reclaim the message and movement of Jesus. We totally will. And I'll tell you why. Because it's the one thing, friends, it's the one thing that will change the game for the Church of Jesus. I hope that churches all over understand this. This is the time to mobilize. This is the time for us to share the hope we have by our words and our deeds and with our spirit. We got to do that. We bring the right energy, the right spirit, the right peace in the room and in every conversation. We have the power to do that because we're living in a world that's full of uncertainty. Jesus prayed a prayer in the midst of an oppressed people. So this is one of his last prayers before he left. He's praying for his disciples. He's praying for the people who are going to believe in him. But he's just leaving them in the middle of Roman oppression. I want you to know that. They were oppressed. He had not set them free. They were hoping, oh my gosh, the Jewish people will have their own nation. No, Jesus is leaving, and here's what he says. Okay, let me read his prayer to you. Okay, in John 17, again, this is extra. John 17, verses 15 to 18. Okay, this is the Living Bible. It says, he's praying to God. He says this. He said, God, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. So here's Jesus praying. He's like, I'm not asking you to take him out of the world. I know the world is full of pain and sorrow and frustration and uncertainty and terror and panic. I'm not asking you to take him out of the world. That is not my prayer. But to keep them safe from each other, no. No, from the Romans, no. From what? From Satan's power. From Satan's power. He says, I want you to keep them safe from Satan's power. Oh, then he says, they're not part of this world any more than I am. And he's saying, they're different. They're not a part of this world any more than I am. He says, so make them pure through teaching them your words of truth. Basically, he's saying, by God, I'm praying that you would speak to their hearts and their lives and that you would speak into their souls and remind them of the truth. And then he says this, as you sent me into the world, I am what? I am sending them into the world. So as you sent me, I'm sending them. What is he saying? You sent me to heal and help humanity. I'm doing the same. I'm praying the same thing over them. Don't take them out of this mess. Because friends, we spend so much time praying for deliverance instead of praying for a mission. Are praying to be people who are, in fact, Jesus to the people around us. So what does it look like, friends? What does it look like for us to stop praying those prayers? Get us out. No, the safety that Jesus prays for us is against one person, and that is Satan. And the enemy of our soul wants to kill and steal and destroy your peace, and that's why he's panicking you. He's making you freak out. That's why you're fighting, and for no reason with your loved ones. You're like, why are we fighting about? Why are we so frustrated? Because it's everything is not normal anymore. But let me just tell you, the people around you, your neighbor who is coughing, is not your enemy. Mm. who's not your enemy. No. He's the one you love, you serve, you help and heal with precaution, or you do it, but you do it. You do it. You're in this, but you're not of this world. So how do we do this? How do we change our posture? We change our posture by doing and saying things that are just different now. What does that mean? We are here to help and heal. What? Help and heal. So how can you help? Well, be available to talk to people. Just be more available now. If you're not one of those people who return messages, text messages, do it. Just do it. Communicate. Allow people to process with you. Make eye contact. Make contact. Kristen, let me just, this is kind of crazy.
Yes.
But during this time, I've been doing this. I see people now down the street walking, just any stranger walking by, I try to look at their eyes.
Yeah.
It's eye so contact, strange.
A smile.
It changes the game.
It does. It really does.
Because people are like worried. They're like, I don't know what to do. I'm not quite sure. And here's what I've also done. I'm like driving myself crazy, I think. I feel like, because in the grocery store, like we've been in grocery stores. How many of you guys been in grocery stores, Target, Walmart, all that kind of stuff? Okay, I'm talking to the grocery store workers. I'm like, how's your day? Is this crazy? Oh my gosh. It is amazing how they go, oh, you don't want anything? Oh, you're not asking me where such and such is, and you're not complaining about why we are running out of toilet paper or whatever. It changes the game. It changes the game. I went around to Trader Joe's the other day, and I was like, I'm just going to thank everybody. Like, hey, man, thank you. Thank you. You're all good. Hey, thanks so much. They're trying to work, because there are some people who are out of work, who have nothing, you know, and they get the luxury of being out of work, sort of. And some are out of work, but they don't get the luxury of that, as in they're worried about their next paycheck.
Right.
And so there are people who are working hard or stressing out even more than some of us. Mm-hmm. So as one who has, like me, I have the privilege of not having to be stressed out that much. How can I serve? How can we do? So what's a couple of other things? Like babysit, right?
Babysit. If you're going to be at home with your own kids, reach out to a neighbor and say, hey, if you have to go to work, drop them off over here.
Yeah.
I know even on our She Community Facebook page, for all the moms that are about to be home with their kids for a few weeks, there's already a list even of just ways that people are providing for each other and offering up different things.
Yeah. And so on our Facebook and our Instagram, the best thing we can do is share.
Yes.
Share. So this is how you help. If you found something that could help someone else out, share it.
Yeah.
Share it. I thought of just checking in with people. I mean, I've done that. I've done that a lot, and I'm checking in with people I never used to check in with. You know,
yeah.
I mean, honestly, because they've always been good, but I want to check in on people. There's some people who are, and maybe we have people that we know. I mean, in Italy, who are quarantined. You know, and so there are people who are. That's the world they live in. And man, getting a text or getting a GIF that's funny or something like that is a little bit of joy in their life. So I think in small ways, these we can do big things.
Yeah, communication is so key.
It's
social distancing, not social isolation.
Yes.
So we got to figure out, just keeping community going, relationship going.
Yeah. I really do believe that if we lean in on this, we'll be more tighter as a community, as a humanity, if we jump on this opportunity here. So communicate, help, share, and share your faith. There are some people who are like, they're lost in the midst of this. If they used to think God doesn't care, now they are convinced that God doesn't care. And this is your chance to not like save their soul. No, it's more than that. It's to comfort their soul. It's to remind them that there's a God who loves them. So this is a great opportunity for us, guys. Remember, living by faith adds to your life. Worry subtracts from it. So as we close, what do you need to do to live by faith? Next week, we're going to talk about this idea of being known by love. But today, what does it mean to be a people who live by faith? We'd love to have a dialogue with you. So if you are on social media throughout the week, if I can answer some of your questions, I'd love for you to do that as well. But let me pray. Can you do that? Let's pray together. Lord God, I just thank you so much for who you are, God. I thank you for, God, the kind of God you are that allows us to be in storms, But then, God, this allows us also to experience, God, this joy that we have in knowing, God, that you are the God. You are the God who heals us. You are the God who saves us. You're the God who gave his life for us. So why would you not? Why would you not, God, save us from this? Be in us during this. God, you are the God who does that. So Father, I just pray for people right now. That God, I just echo the same prayer that Jesus prayed. I pray, God, that we would not allow anything else in our lives, God, because we are not of this world. But God, we are in this world. And we are here with a posture that is of yours to help and heal, to share and give. And we are here with a perspective of eternity, in the light of eternity. God, I pray that we would understand that. I pray that, God, as you talk to the disciples and even corrected them, saying, why are you so afraid? Why do you worry? Have you lost your faith in me? Do you not know that we're doing something bigger? That we're part of something that's bigger? Do you not know that? The reason why you're with me, the reason why we're on this boat is because we are saving people's lives and we are healing people. We are on a mission. And as we're on this mission, you are with us. God, I pray for that perspective and I pray for a posture, God, that resembles you, God. That we move towards helping and move towards healing people during this time. And God, I pray against anxiety and stress in Jesus' name. I pray, God, the prayer that Jesus prayed against the enemy. I pray that you keep us safe, covered, God, not to be contaminated by the thoughts of the enemy, because his thoughts are evil, stressful, panic. He wants us, God, to be consumed with worry. He wants to steal the joy. He wants to rob our laughter. He wants to kill any good thought in us. He wants to kill the hope. And so in Jesus' name, God, we just know that we resist him. Resist him. And we focus on the one who gave us everything, who's not keeping anything from us in the midst of this. There's no running out of your peace or your love and your kindness. There's no running out of your supernatural power, because God, you don't give yourself in pieces. You just don't. You just don't. God, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, we're going to respond this morning. And as if you're in your chat room and you have a moment, I want to just speak to some of you who are kind of, maybe you're by yourself or maybe you're in a group, but something just clicked for you. Because you realize that you've always had Jesus in the boat, but not in your heart. Like, he's not been the lens. He's not been the filter. He's in the boat, and you're still worried, and you're still scared, and you still are fearful. What would it take for you to allow him to be the filter of your life? To give birth a perspective in your life? What it would allow for you to say, Jesus, I give you my life today. I give you my life today. Friends, if you're watching this and you know I'm talking to you, I want you to respond. There's a button in there that allows you to raise your hand, and that raising your hand is a sign that says, "Hey, I'm saying yes. I'm saying yes." What does it look like for you to say, "Jesus, I give you my life"? How about we do this before we sing this song, just for 1 second? Close your eyes for 1 second and say, "Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my life." Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.